Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist.
What is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
Well, last night I searched what is the emoji symbol for, like, can I say pussy or vagina? Whatever. I forget if I'm allowed to say that.
Let's take a quick break and figure this. Let's sidebar.
Pussy. I know eggplant is the dick emoji.
Right.
And I'm making Valentine's Day merch. Hey, you guys can buy them at teresalee.com/shop. But I have a joke that's like, thank you for the dick, but I'm doing it where you can circle different ones, so you can circle. I want to do like big pussy, like heart, brain, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I don't know if there is one. And I looked it up and I couldn't figure out like a consensus. So I just put a picture of a kitty. What do you guys think? Is it? I've heard taco, but that feels demeaning to me.
Yeah. I don't like
taco's
that.
Taco's weird.
I mean, the kitty. That's probably the best way to go at it, as opposed to taco, which is fucking gross and like fraggy, I feel like. It reminds me of that Pink Taco's like taco place, which always has like, a very fratty vibe to it.
Then they have one at the Century City Mall.
Yeah.
Like back in the day, and I was like, I remember someone was like, yo, we're going to Pink Taco. I'm like, you are.
You are. Me. Enjoy.
Miss me with that aggro bullshit place. It's like, the tacos suck. Yeah, I'm trying to think, like, because I know on the internet, like, you know, on like, you know, the shade room or like gossip blogs, whenever they like, I feel like the cat face one is used a lot. And then the other, but then the peach is used for a butt.
Right. I have the peach in there. I put the butt in there. I put brain, which you can interpret either way. You know, you could interpret it the Nicki Minaj way or as intelligence.
Where's the Georgia O'Keefe wanted a emoji?
That's what I was like. Maybe there's a flower, but I don't know if it's universal, so I just put kitty. But
this sounds the like flower something that needs to be remedied. I think you need to work.
I mean,
on
look
emoji.
In the flower
maybe
department.
Our pussies are just also different, you know. Maybe it's like hard to categorize them because they're all just unique. Maybe it should be like a snowflake or something.
Yeah.
Wow.
Snowflake.
I'm just trying to. Yeah, but maybe that's something we need to push for.
Alex
Schmidt and Jamie Loftus need to combine their forces of trying to get new emojis being made and just be like, what is the thing we can all agree upon for this genital representation?
Mm. What? So
yeah, I'm behind that.
Kitty taco. Are there any other options that we?
Well, there's like, so if you look it up, they do have like sets that are like not the Unicode one. So there's a lot of like actual vagina emojis, which is like not what
I
wanted.
On the nose.
I
mean,
but yeah, those were the ones I saw. But I guess we have less need to be sending those emojis. I'm not sure. I think it's cute to have a little emoji for it, but I don't know.
Yeah, you get into weird territory. Like, is it the cherries? Is it the oyster?
Oh no,
on the half shell.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that oyster above the shrimp.
God.
Like, that's a little aggro.
No.
Or is it like the meat bone with the bone through it?
No, I don't know.
It's all
there is like the third eye, which I kind of like because that like the evil eye or whatever, the protecting eye.
Oh yeah. Like,
okay, I could roll with that. It's about like keeping out the evil, you know.
Sure,
but
I think we need some Georgia O'Keeffe art historians on the case to just be like this will do.
I was Googling. I've been really homesick recently, and so I was looking up a local business drama in my area. So, not the best. I mean, this is all upsetting.
Like inter-business drama or like consumer beefs with the businesses?
There's just always, I feel like it happens everywhere, but in the Boston ones always really make me laugh of just like weird small business drama. And the best one, there's like, this is a pretty well-known one at this point, but the Cat Cafe in Boston that was like run by a woman who didn't care about cats and was like there. So I Googled Cat Cafe Drama Boston, and that brings you to a slew of incredible short histories of just it was just a local Massachusetts woman who wanted to start a cat cafe. But guess what? She didn't know how to take care of cats. Cat lovers immediately got angry at her, but she just continued to double down. And it was just like real New England mom on Facebook energy, where she would post these like screeds from the Cat Cafe page being like, everyone who thinks I don't know how to take care of a cat is a hater. And like, just it went on for years and years.
Is a
and,
vet.
right. When it's like all these people she was working with were like, you shouldn't be running a business about cats. And so it went on for years. My brother used to live near the Cat Cafe, so I relived that drama. And then also the puppet theater I used to work at in Boston was embezzled from by its own managing director. So I was catching up on that drama. There's just I don't know. My algorithm is fucked for life.
What a
at this
mix
point,
of good and bad news you just hit us with.
There's a lot going on
on
my Google page.
How much can you embezzle out of a puppet theater?
All of it, I guess.
like, is there a dollar amount attached to what had happened? Or?
No, it was kept pretty quiet. I don't know why. I was just like on one, and I like contacted all my Boston media contacts to be like, why aren't people reporting on the puppet embezzlement? and then I did a bunch of, this is like a month ago, but I did a ton of research. I sent it to my friend, and she was like, I'll see what we can do. But it's
look, the dots are just there waiting to be connected. You just got to go through it. Here it is.
I'm just like, what kind of person do you need to be to embezzle from a fucking independently run nonprofit puppet theater? That's
the worst fucking kind.
I feel like you've got to be a bad guy in a Muppets movie. Like that's sort of that's the premise.
Only
of most Muppets
would embezzle from a puppet.
Right.
I was so upset about it. And I was like, people in Boston should be so mad that someone stole from a puppet theater. But it was like someone at the top was just like taking money out of the cash box. Like,
what was your connection to the puppet theater? Just like one you went to, or were you involved?
I used to work there. I interned there in college, and then I worked there for a little bit. It's a great puppet theater. It seems like they're going to be okay. But there was, I'm still on their email list. And like a month and a half ago, they sent out this wild email that was just like an update on the embezzlement scandal. I was like, oh, because usually it's like, great. Do you want to watch shadow puppets on Zoom? And I'm like, no. But so there's, you know, just a little bit of local drama to make me feel closer to home.
Nice. What is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
So my I recently searched, is Tell Me Who I Am a true story? Because do you know the documentary Tell Me Who I Am? I think it's pretty recent. And on Childish, my parenting-ish podcast, my co-host Greg Fitzsimmons mentioned having seen it, and he didn't want to tell me any details, but it was like so amazing. And he's like, just go watch it. And then in an Instagram comment, a listener was like, I've been listening to Allison for years, and I know her sensibility, and I think she 100% shouldn't watch it. It's like the worst possible thing happens to kids. It was too much for me. It would be too much for her. Don't watch it. So I thought, okay, I won't. I'll just go Google the plot summary, which is I cannot handle horror. I can't handle things that are super disturbing. Like, I have a dark brain that goes to those places anyway. I don't need outside help. So what I do is I won't watch anything awful. I just read this. Like, I could not get past two episodes of Handmaid's Tale, but I know the entire synopsis because I go torture myself by reading about it on Wikipedia. So I went to Wikipedia. I now know what Tell Me Who I Am is about. And I don't know whether I should say or not. I don't really think it's a spoiler because everything I encountered that gave a description about it says it, but it just, I won't. But I read it and I was like, this is so awful. This, and I always, like, there's a part of me that's very naive. Like, this is so awful. This can't be a true story. This just can't. So I was hoping to find something that says that it's a work of fiction or like it's a, someone made it up, it's a hoax, da da da. But all I kept seeing was that it is a true story, and that is my Google search history.
Yeah, that is dark. I'm looking at it right now, and it seems like
the
gist is
like someone's in an accident, loses their memory, and then they're relying on their twin sibling to like help fill in the gaps.
So there's this set of twins, and one of them gets into a motorcycle accident and is in a coma and comes out of it and doesn't remember anything except like very maybe like a few very recent memories, doesn't remember anything, and so his twin brother is filling him in on everything, you know, their childhood and everything that happened up till now, and paints a pretty rosy picture of it. But then it turns out, should I say it? I don't know if it's a spoiler or not.
I just know broadly, I think that there's a dark family secret.
It turns out that there was a very dark family secret, right. Yes, yeah. That involved the two boys, and that the twin covered that up. And in doing so, I believe it was pretty healing for the one who had the memories, because he was able to create this fantasy of a good upbringing. But then when their mother dies, the twin who had the memory loss stumbles onto some things and is like, did something bad happen to us?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And then I do relate to this, like, goes on this deep, becomes obsessed with finding out the truth of what really happened. Right. Again, I haven't seen it. I've only read about it.
That's how
I would be, though.
Yeah.
I get very obsessed with, like, I need to know the truth of something. I can't watch it.
It's a narrative kind of idea that we were talking about kind of resonating, especially recently, where and obviously this is a documentary, and I was talking about it in the context of like more fictional movies like Memento, where people are intentionally like trying to avoid reality. Right. And yeah, this seems like one of those sort of trying to avoid the reality of one's own memories that I think we're seeing a lot of in popular culture. Obviously, we see a lot of it in the news with Trump supporters and Alex Jones people and shit like that. But
right. I mean, I think there's this question of what is the value of living in reality if reality is upsetting and disturbing?
Yeah, I think the Matrix is probably the more central central text for like that choice between, do I want to wake up to a reality, even if that reality is less pleasant than just living in the lie.
Right. And all the followers of Q who've been red pilled to the max, man, I have those pill colors right, they of course believe that the rest of us are choosing to stay asleep to the reality that they're aware of.
Right.
And that is crazy.
And now they're having a reckoning too.
Right. Yes. They're having, sort of like, they're realizing
there
they
was
were
a post legitimately on like, can I blue pill back?
But they,
how do you do it?
I think what they're discovering is that they did choose the blue pill. Like with everything with the Trump administration, they have chosen the antonym, like the exact opposite of the truth. And, you know, or with Trump, a lot of times it comes in the form of accusing the other side of what they're doing. And sure. with the red pill people, when they took the blue pill that told them, like, this is your reality, is that you are the hero and everybody else is against you. And there's a vast conspiracy trying to hold you down, and not like that you are very privileged compared to a lot of the people around you, that they decided to call that red pilling when it's the exact opposite of that. Yeah.
Well, hopefully there's a way back for people, because it seems like I'm actually surprised after looking more and more like on these forums and things that they're the group of people who are into the conspiracy theory who are like legitimately trying to be like, guys, we've been had.
Yeah.
Like, and we actually need to start dealing with that, because like there was one where the dad wrote, he's like, I've fully just, you know, scuttled my relationships to my kids in the pursuit of what I thought was the truth. And he's like, I have a lot to do because I'm realizing I've really massively cut down. Like, I don't know what my future is because in search of this conspiracy theory, I've let my family go. And now I realize that this is empty. I actually need to make amends to have my family as part of my life, because that's truly what matters right now. And we've been so, I mean, there's all kinds, but it's interesting when you see that sort of being expressed, you're like, shit, man.
Yeah. People need to adapt the 12-step program for QAnon. I think people coming out of the Q thing. I also think that it's probably a sampling error a little bit, in the sense that people who have chosen to just double down and bury their head in the Q version of things, there's really not a way to express that in language that doesn't sound just completely on its surface inherently contradictory. And so the only people we're hearing from are the ones who have reconciled the fact that they were living a lie.
Well, then, because then there's arguments
that choose
to
live the lie. Yeah, right. Yeah, totally.
But, you know, so central, I think, to a lot of this Q stuff is this idea that they've discovered that children are being abused all, and it goes up to the highest, you know, levels in the land. And I know that that's the thing. Like, I'll see friends of friends who are mothers who are not conspiracy theorists, as far as I know, start posting stuff on Instagram, and I'm like, oh my God, they're getting sucked into it. Stuff about I mean, yes, of course, trafficking of kids and people exists, but I can just tell, like, these are Q memes that you are you're not aware that you're reposting this stuff. And it's like, are the ones who are sort of waking up to having been had, are they realizing that all of that stuff was not true probably in the way not they thought it was?
No, I think because that's probably an interesting entry point, because it's real and there's enough in the real world to indicate that there's validity to those claims, like of powerful people who abuse children.
It's
like,
just not the ones that they think it is.
Right. It's when they go into this other thing of like this, you know, emergency broadcast system and how the like tribunals were going to occur on the news. And that's how Trump will stay in office. It's like a lot of, I think, those are the things that became like the loudest parts about QAnon and things like that over the last few months. And I think those are the elements that are like, now they're realizing like, holy shit, like I was really into that part, but fuck, none of it happened. Yeah.
I mean, it's isolating that mothering or parenting instinct of like caring for your child. And I mean, it's the same thing as the anti-vaxxer thing. It's like they figured out a way to and didn't figure it out. It's just almost like an evolutionary natural selection thing, where this thing that preys on that very specific kind of universal feeling and kind of removes it from context. Like, it's basically like parent caring for your child porn, where it's like removed and just like sort of made very front and center and kind of cheapened, so that that's like you're just like playing on that emotion completely out of context in a way that's manipulated.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back. Okay, so let's talk about James Lankford. He is a senator from Oklahoma. And, you know, I think he's a good example of like a broader discussion of how politicians on the right or conservatives like will never accept how their ideology and policies over the last century or so have just been an actual manifestation of white supremacy. Because it's just like, well, I'm not racist. I just think the election was stolen, or this has nothing to do with race. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because they are so ignorant that they cannot see the complexity of what they're caught in, or they are just that willfully racist and are like, oh yeah, but I'm going to be a little deceptive about it and use these little word games to dance my way out of actually saying, oh yeah, yeah, I'm old school. I don't think black or brown people or anybody who's not of my certain culture to prosper. So James Lankford, I think, is a good example because he's doing the thing where he's pretending like he doesn't know what any of this is. He signed on at first to that sedition caucus letter to be like, yo, I'm going to be one of the senators who's going to fucking try and reverse the course of this election, and I will use my vote to do that. And then once the shit went down, he reversed course. He was like, ooh, he's one of the few people who's like, okay, That was a little too much. That was a little too much. Okay. I see what I think even for me, that was a bridge too far, which is interesting.
Yeah.
So even though he tried to at the last minute find his spirit and soul, a lot of people were like, I don't think you can escape this, especially the black people of Oklahoma. They were very upset, as a lot of just Oklahomans were as well, just realizing what their senator was participating in, essentially making, like, you know, as much as he wants to say, we just got to make sure the election was fair, or we have to restore the people's faith in elections. It was just about making sure that minority rule was still effective, you know, because for a lot of these people watching Georgia go full blue face, bust down Tatiana without protesters and violence and things like that. And it just simply off the strength of, you know, people of color getting like outmaneuvering voter suppression. That was shocking. They're like, wait, we have all this shit set up so we can keep it at least gridlocked. But now that it's happening, it's like there's a sense of panic because that is starting to erode. The effectiveness of that is starting to erode as more people are also starting to be like, oh, I have voting power. So if this was all about taking away the votes of these marginalized people, so because of the pressure he was under from people like disgusted with his vote, he puts out this sort of deflective, you know, oh, I didn't realize what was going on letter. Quote, what I did not realize was of all of the national conversation about states like Georgia, Pennsylvania, and Michigan was seen as casting doubt on the validity of votes coming out of predominantly black communities like Atlanta, Philadelphia, and Detroit. After decades of fighting for voting rights, many black friends in Oklahoma saw this as a direct attack on their right to vote, for their vote to matter, and even a belief that their votes made an election in our country illegitimate. I can assure you, my intent to give a vote, to give a voice to Oklahomans who had questions, was never also an intent to diminish the voice of any black American. I should have recognized how what I said and what I did could be interpreted by many of you. I deeply regret my blindness to that perception, and for that, I am sorry. The Tulsa Massacre is 100 years old this year.
I'm so sorry that you feel that way.
Yeah.
That's what he said, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Yeah.
That's what that apology was.
I'm sorry that you saw that for that, but I'm going to say it's not. Somebody smell gas? Oh, what was going on? It's. I'm just curious what this blind spot, like, do you think, you know, even Tori, in your work, interacting with all kinds of people, ideologies, and racism, what the split is of people who are, like, you know, actual, truly out here to ride for racism, and the ones that are so ignorant and caught up in this like team sports mentality that they just can't budge from beginning to see any nuance of anything. I don't know. Well, I'm always trying to figure out what it is.
With U.S. senators, like, no, that's all bullshit. You know exactly what you're doing. Like, I'm like, okay, no.
You get there because you're the smartest racist.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it really, really depends. I think it varies a lot from place to place. Especially I think that they're, you know, Oregon kind of has this reputation as being like wildly progressive, and it's not, right? Like, we have plenty of people here who want to disenfranchise people. And, you know, even people like on the east side of the state, they're like, well, you're not voting the way that we want, and we should be able to be in charge, even though there's fewer people here. So we're just going to go join Idaho. Just like,
right.
Like, that's not how this works. Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think it really just kind of depends, but there are definitely, I think the people, like the higher up you get, the more people are, they know what they're doing.
Yeah. Right. Of course.
Right. Like I would say people kind of like on the lower end of the socioeconomic ladder, right? The people that are used by the white people that are used by powerful people to like oppress, do the oppression work for them so they don't have to get their hands dirty. Like, I don't think that most of them know explicitly. Right. I think if you sat down with them, you might be able to get them to a point where they're like, oh, OK, I see what you're saying. Like, I see how this adds up. I disagree with you still. And I these are still my values.
Because I see like the one thing, especially in looking at like, you know, a lot of right wing chatter on the Internet and just seeing how that conversation is going. A lot of them have arrived to the point of just saying, if we don't agree with them, we're racist.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's. Yeah. And like, and everything's white supremacy, because it is, but it's almost like, how do you talk to someone who you're like, you know, it's like intervening with someone. Sometimes you say drinking problem and it's like the alarm, like they that can't be heard or
they
whatever it
shut
is.
Down, yeah.
Yeah. It's like a shutdown. And again, so no meaningful communication can occur at that point. Mm-hmm. And I'm also curious, like, is there, because I also understand if for them, they've completely been robbed of any context nuance that it to them, it's just saying everything they say is just that. Well, it isn't, because I've never participated in a lynch mob, or I've never said this or that. So like, that's just getting fired up without like, so that's why I'm always just like, I don't even know how a corner can begin to be turned if I don't. And then it's almost like, and I'm not trying to coddle racist people, but I'm like, is there another way that it has to be explained to even begin for something to like thaw or begin to melt? But I don't know. That's why I'm just like,
wow, yeah, I'm not really like sure, because place. It's like, we do, I mean, working class white people and working class people of color have so much to make common cause over, right? Like, they deal with so many of the same issues. They both have a government that doesn't give a fuck about them, and like their needs and how they're going to pay their bills and get healthcare, right? So I don't think that they're going to hear it from people of color.
Right.
I really don't. Right. And they feel very sensitive, I think fairly, about being talked down to and like condescended to, because they feel like rich people already do that to them. And so I think that was like a big part of why they rallied behind Trump, was they were like, oh, he's going to be a bully for us.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, he's going to throw people around for us. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that there are conversations that can be had, but I don't think that those conversations starting out, I think that's white people work, essentially, is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like, hey, look, like, we're all getting screwed over if we all just work together on this one issue, right? And that's what's been most effective, like, at least in the research that I've seen in the US, is that, you know, you don't have to do like the party thing. Just find a bunch of people who are affected by one single issue and make that the thing that you focus on. Get everybody on board with whatever it is, right? Like labor rights or minimum wage or, you know, healthcare access. And you just focus on that one thing. That can actually get people to work together, as opposed to being like, well, you just need to be a leftist, right? Or you need to be more progressive, or you're just
or conservative, because it's like, or whatever.
Right. Because it's like, what they hear is, you're too stupid to know like what's best for you. And while we do, I do believe that they're voting against their own self-interest, right? I think that we also have to engage with the fact that, you know, if you feel like someone has said to you, well, you're stupid, but actually sit down because I need to tell you what's what. Like, people aren't really going to go for that. I think that there has to be, I think it's white people work. I think that those conversations had to be had. And I don't know that, again, it's going to be like a political party thing, but I think on issues, you can get people who would identify as conservative to like make common cause.
Right.
With more progressive ideas.
Because like that anger of not having shit or feeling like your bills are adding up or whatever is being projected onto this like, fucking Schumer shit. Right. And then like at a certain point, like, it's gonna hollow you out, because you can only, but without actually addressing your material needs that potentially could be solved through better policy.
Right. And a lot of it too is, they see, they're like, well, you know, minorities don't deserve assistance, right? And like, why should they be able to cut in line? I mean, this is gonna be the exact same thing with the COVID vaccine, of like, well, how come those people get to cut in line? Like, are they more important than me? So I think, you know, there's very much that attitude of like, well, like, undocumented people, that's not what they say, are stealing all of our healthcare. So I'm opposed to universal healthcare because I don't want illegals to have it. Like, that's a very common argument, right? And it's one of those things where you have to explain, it's like, it's not zero sum. Like, healthcare isn't, just because someone who is undocumented gets healthcare doesn't mean you don't also get healthcare. Right, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I think if you make it about the issue, like a specific issue, instead of about politics, you get a lot farther with that.
I think it's just got to say everything for everyone. That's all. I'm honest, you know what I mean? Like, because it's true. That's why I'm like, it's this team sport shit. The second it's attached to, this person's a Democrat, this person, because it happens. Yeah. It's all over the place. I mean, yes, like, it's, but this is what it is, you know, like, because this is, everyone's retreating to their corners. But yeah, I feel like if there is a way to just like just to speak to the human exist, your condition, the existence, right. the lived experience of being a person, being like more food. You know what I mean? Fucking free food. What?
Free food.
Free food? Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Like
for who? For who? Anybody. You need food? Come through, bro.
Right. I got if you
it.
Need it.
We got it for you. Totally. What do you need? Mm-hmm. What you need? What you need? We got it. What you need? We got it. Party. You know what I mean? And you'd hope. That's awesome. But again, because it's a zero-sum game, it's almost like that conservatives look at even generosity as right. still being like, well, it's finite.
Right.
You know, there's yeah. no
possible
way.
And that's what they're told. That's what they're told by their political leaders, quote unquote, is that if other people get some, that's less for you.
Yeah.
And
which
so
is the same
we're not going to give anybody anything. Like that's the part they don't say is like, okay, so
right.
like,
while
these
ignoring,
are right.
well, it's like ignoring all the massive wealth hoarding. They're like, oh, don't look at all this wealth hoarding happening
well, right.
over here.
Uh-huh. It's yeah, the that. Same conversation anybody has. Most people, I think everybody has, if they ever ask for a raise at their job. Mm. Well, you know, if we did that then, or I just got to see, there's just not enough right now. You know what I mean? Like it's,
right.
and it's, if you were talking to a CEO, they're not having those conversations. We'd be like, well, could they make less? And then wouldn't that create right. the money? Isn't that a way to do that for me? Oh, well, first of all, shut the fuck up. We're never going to do that, which is sort of like where we're at. Like, we don't even have the imagination as a nation to be like, yeah, but what about you though? You got it. Mm-hmm. You got it.
Yeah.
So run your shit. You know what I mean? Because we don't got it. Because
right.
yeah. we're tired of being told, hey, you know, if, you know, because if I do that, then this guy's going to want eyes for their kid. And then the other person wants a neck brace. You know, it's like, yo, fuck that. But you live in a fucking golden whatever mm-hmm. the fuck. You know, it's, yeah. What we hope the discourse can begin to like more people have that imagination to be like, it,
yes.
all the things are possible. It's just that like, we got to stop acting like you want Elon Musk to have, you know, $11 billion. And that's like his right to
yeah.
do that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, yeah. Jeff Bezos, any of these fucking people. It's just that those graphs showing how these billionaires made out over the last year. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. would, I don't know how you look at that and think that's cool.
Good for
that's
him.
Cool. Yeah, like that's cool. That's cool that the people who already had more money than they could ever spend in their lives, like are doubling their net worth or adding, increasing it by 40%, 30%.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. and then look at what's happening. Cause it's truly, they're drinking our fucking milkshake. Okay. That's what it is. They're drinking right. our fucking milkshake from all the way across the room in their mansions. And then we're still over here fighting each other, not realizing, like, acting like, you're drinking the milkshake. Motherfucker, they're drinking the milkshake over there. The billionaires are. They've been there out there. They're fucking drinking so much of it.
They're
yet
in
they
a
got
great
us
lake
out here.
Of milkshake over
yeah,
there.
Pointing they're... fingers at each other when no one has the ability to drink the milkshake. Anyway. Yeah.
Loving
this Paul
metaphor.
Thomas, this Paul Thomas Anderson metaphor like, brought to you by a stoner
like,
bro.
Damn.
You know, got hey, look, I got to give it up for my Valley brethren.
In terms of like the racists who felt empowered and like legitimized by the Trump presidency, there does seem like there's like a very immediate reaction of either crawling back in their holes or being like, but what happened? Like there, you know, there's right. still the people we talked about how Q isn't going anywhere. QAnon isn't going anywhere, but there are like a lot of posts from people in the Q forums who are like, I mean, there's legitimately a post that says, huh, I guess we were wrong. Like the guy says, fuck this sham. I want to puke. Like it just, I couldn't stop reading these screen caps from Q yeah. forums of people.
Where's the
being,
damn storm?
Yeah.
What happened? Right. Why didn't the plan work?
The number because one post on the QAnon, like what their version of Reddit is just guys question mark.
That's like, what, beautiful. I mean, it's also nice to see, or like kind of heartening to see that deplatforming really, like, it really does
yeah.
do something to properly deplatform. And it's like, it's still, I'll never get over how long it took. all the social media billionaires to deplatform Trump, but it's like had an immediate effect.
Yeah, it really has.
What's his name? Watkins made a post as well.
Who's Watkins?
The Ron Watkins, the guy
who's Q. Yeah, yeah.
And he was just like, the vibe of the post was like QAnon was more about the friends we made.
Yeah, he legitimately said journey. I actually have it here. Ron Watkins, major QAnon booster, who some suspected of being Q himself, posted a note of resignation on his Telegram channel and is quote, "We have a new president sworn in, and it is our responsibility as citizens to respect the Constitution. As we enter into the next administration, please remember all the friends and happy memories we made together over the past few years."
What a piece of shit trying to act like it wasn't.
Literally the friends we made along the way.
Yeah. Right. But also now to be like, let's respect the Constitution. I don't want any liability here. The words I'm saying is play nice now, even though we were fucking gassing y'all up on this bullshit. Mm-hmm. I love how also in that the screen grab you have from that Q forum where someone was like, "To any and all federal agents browsing this website, every post I have ever made is satire."
Yep. They're doing that.
Everyone
they're doing
adding
that thing.
Like brackets on Retro. Minecraft.
You yeah. may not use my posts to incriminate me.
Not fair. Not fair. I am sovereign.
There's
See,
just
that's
one
an example
section.
Of when you get a little too let's get loud and then let's things get bad.
Loud. That was okay, not that loud.
Getting, let's get loud.
There's one section I just want to read word for word. "Well, I'm the official laughing stock of my family now. Awesome." And then someone, "This is embarrassing. Here come all excuses now." And then somebody was responding to a comment. "So where is the shock and awe?" ? And I guess this was like at 11:30. And this person responded, "Q also said noon! ! I will start kicking people for their attitudes. We are patriots. You stand here and hold the line with us, or you can leave. Your choice." And noon came and went.
Boy.
And
wet fart.
He was not heard from.
And
then
just
the final one in that is, "OMG, none of this was real."
Woo! I mean, and you know what though? If you have somebody that is willing to own up that they came this far and it didn't happen, you know, maybe just be like, "Okay, so do you want to talk about how you want to make amends now?" That's the thing I'm trying to figure out, right? Because clearly there are people who are like truly are like, "What the fuck?
Right.
I played myself." Mm-hmm. I feel like there has to be a way to like, you want to capitalize on that energy to try and get people to return to the information age on some level. I do want to just play this one thing of this QAnon guy who's so disappointed at noon, who is posting and just like, "Come on, guys, like let's just stay together."
"Well, patriots, we're all probably doing the same thing watching this inauguration. You know, we've been told to watch it carefully because a lot of it could be nonsense, fake. You know, only time will tell. But, you know, Simon, Scott McKay, they've all told us that this thing has to go all the way through for it to be completed.
The inauguration
before
be completed.
Trump makes a move.
Right, right.
So I think we're all sitting here waiting, waiting for something to happen. I don't think this is over yet, fellas. Guys and girls, be safe."
Oh, nice.
Oh, okay. Thank you for being inclusive. Thank you for being inclusive.
What about the non-binary Q people? No? Okay, just making sure. Where Q stands on that. All right, ladies and gentlemen. But wow. They were really, the goalposts were shifting. And like there were some other like people on Twitter who were monitoring it in real time showing that there was a very distinct moment at noon where a couple people tried to push the goalposts even further, and people were like, "No, fuck this!" And like they just started devouring the fucking like the threads.
Trump's
and be
been
like,
late
"This is horseshit.
Don't worry about it. He's just running late.
Military precision, my ass."
I do wonder, like, if there's a clear need to like do some mass de-radicalization, especially for people who are newly saying like, "Holy shit, everything that I have been like burning every bridge in my life and giving in to every prejudice I've ever had was based on this gigantic lie. And it's like, I mean, I wonder if there will be some sort of figure or ideology that emerges that is actually helpful in de-radicalizing. I don't know. It's so like, right. Which direction are these people going to go?
Right.
There does seem like some of the institutions are losing momentum. Like even Fox News is now, like it's always way out in front, first in the ratings, and now it's lagging. It's third ever since the election. I think just the fact that they don't have a coherent truth they can kind of rally behind, like the news part of their reporting, like the stuff that happens during the day, just now completely contradicts the stuff that they're saying at night. Tucker Carlson is usually way out front, number one in the ratings. He's now like fourth. You're seeing even like polling shift around about 20% of Republicans say they approve of conviction in the latest poll, conviction of Donald Trump in the Senate, which is an increase from 14% of Republicans saying that just like a week before. And that's you know, the fact that it's moving in that direction as we get further away from the event is, I think, somewhat significant, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd hope. And that's probably like the self-preservation mechanism of a lot of these fucking ghouls who are just absolute monsters the last couple of years, being like, okay, I'm gonna lean hard into this thing, and then maybe that will absolve me, or at least people will weigh that against, you know, all the dumb shit I did. Because like, we have this weird thing in America too, where like, you could have a lifetime of being racist, but you could be like, no, you know what, I think Black Lives Matter, and suddenly it's if it completely erased your history or like how you've spoken about things. Not that people can change, but there's a very cynical way of like trying to suddenly be like, no, I'm on this side, to try and appear like you have been correct. And there's that. And maybe we just benefit from that, that they so badly want to hide their own sins that they're just like, fuck it, I'll vote for impeachment. But then we will continue to pretend. I'm sure a lot of people will continue to pretend or treat their fellow senators, Congress people, like, oh, that was so great of you to do that, even though like you rah-rahed the insurrection and we almost all got.
Right.
That's what's so infuriating about the unity message that's being made literally 2 weeks after a violent insurrection. Like, fuck off, you know, fuck off.
Yeah.
That's never not going to be fucking infuriating.
Guys, hug this weed whacker that's on. Hold it real close to your face. Kiss it. Right. Kiss the weed whacker. Unity with it. No, it's fucked. No, like, turn it off or take the gas out and then maybe we can talk.
Right.
Yeah. It's so frustrating. And it's like, it's so frustrating to have like people in your life who are like, why aren't, like, come on, let's all hold hands. Like, it's going to be fine. It's like, that's not 2 weeks later language, period. Like, oik oif. I need to check in with my family member who went Q and stopped talking to all of us. I wonder how she's doing today.
Yeah, I mean, there were a few
people
who are like on like extremism Twitter, and they're like, you know, if someone reaches out to you who went Q and tries to come back, like, try maybe make it out. If it feels sincere, maybe you have a chance at it, but you never know. But it's like, it's weird now that we're also finding, you know, trying to find like our empathy for these people who were completely lied to, but the fallout of their misinformation diet was translating into direct violence. It's all like a very fucking weird, it feels like a fucking comic book, or like a Damon Lindelof show, where like we're having to now deal with all these people who are like wearing white all the time and not talking and smoking cigarettes. I'm like, okay, hey, you done black pilling? For a second, can we?
Right.
Let's be happy. I don't know. How do I do this?
It's hard. Yeah, it's hard because you. It's like, it feels like basically impossible to. It seems like, okay, maybe I'm off here, but just the way, even the tone of like the embarrassing messages on those forums is like, oh, we were wrong, so like, sorry, our bad, forgive us right away. And it's like, that can't be how it goes. but then, like, how do you access your empathy to, like, get there? But it's like, I don't know, just the expectation of, like, oh, whoopsies, I have been part of a violent death cult for 4 years and saying the most fucked up shit you can imagine and believing it. And now, whoops, I'm sorry. So you have to forgive me right away. Or
I said it was wrong.
Like, yeah, yeah. It just feels like, I don't know, just like,
forgive me, or I'm going to fucking kill you. Whoa.
Like, yeah,
whoa.
Kind of. Like, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. I guess
it's early doors still.
To process it.
It's early doors. It's only fucking I day plus one. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. You know, yeah. Well,
guaranteed everyone's feelings are going to change on it. But
yeah, yep. I mean, I just think of how much things have shifted since the 6th. Of like our understanding of everything, like, what the fuck? To like, oh my god, disgusting! This is so fucked and putrid. So yeah, we'll see. I mean, you see a lot of journalists on Twitter right now who are like, if you've got Q relatives and you've checked on them, hit me up. I'm trying to write an article on this right now. Mm-hmm. So I think that's like every journalist is trying to dive into
that
story.
The New York Times wants to go to a Q diner to check in with all the Trump supporters.
Can't wait for that episode of The Daily.
Yeah.
We went to a Q diner. It's like, just don't.
And they had some interesting thoughts. Like, don't air them.
They had some pretty good ideas.
They just wanted better, efficient government.
And it turns out that they're actually really sorry.
Yes, very sorry. Be sorry.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back. What is something you think is underrated, Teresa?
Underrated? Oh, what did I say for this? Oh, okay. I'm going to do the sentence version. Tell me if it makes sense. Social media as systems. Does this make sense, or do you want to explain more?
No, that's good. What's like, something that's over
not,
it?
I am not. I am stupid.
Like,
go.
Okay, because yeah. I know we all hate on Twitter and TikTok and whatever for the individual like toxicity that we get, but recently, as I came on last time a while ago to talk about AI, and I've, believe it or not, journeyed further into this depth. But you know how neural networks are like systems? Like you're, like the short version is like your brain has organic systems, like your limbic system, your prefrontal cortex, and then organs or whatever, but they all work together to make you. And right. I think we're getting to the point where social media, like platforms, like Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, they're not all just ways for humans individually to interact or create communities anymore. The platform itself has become a system. Like people using it actually change the platform as an organ. Like one will eventually function more like the heart and the brain, and they're not all going to sub in for each other. We're already getting to that point. Like TikTok isn't just one where people who like social media get on it. People get on it to do TikTok, whereas right. it used to be you follow the new thing. So I think we're getting to that point, and I think it's a good thing because I think it'll take away the individualistic, like, negative stuff and make it so we all are almost like cells and atoms adding our positive, you know, the positivity will win out because the flow is going to go towards, like, human nature in hopefully survival way, like the way that your brain adapts to survive. I think these platforms are going to become interactive systems in the internet body.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. That's super
That's like
deep.
Looking very out into the future. I'm like, wow, okay, shit.
I think we're there already, with a lot of things. Yeah. We're there, yeah.
Yeah, like people are sacrificing their own individuality for like whatever is going to make the overall system like operate more efficiently, or whatever is going to like get more attention in the overall system, like on Twitter or whatever it is.
But I don't think it's a bad thing. It's not that individuals... you'll lose anything. It's that in the same way that, you know, you, Jack, when your body is healthy, your heart's healthy, your everything benefits. So by right. acting in your own best interest, we are now connected at a threshold that will keep the body surviving, which is like human nature in the internet.
Yeah. I mean, it's super interesting. I could see a future where people are harnessing that to do good and bad, because it is like people have, you know, been like, when are we going to reach the singularity? When is AI going to happen? And like suddenly, you know, artificial intelligence is beyond human comprehension. And I feel like this is a form of the singularity where we are all individual neurons, like contributing to an overall, like sort of hive mind organism. I think that's, yeah
but,
really interesting.
But don't worry, the AI won't take over in an evil way. Once you get there, you'll let go of your ego. I think I'm already there. And then you'll realize that if you believe in the common good, it will keep going that way. But it is really scary. Yeah, it's scary.
Yeah. I'm just, because it's hard for me to think of these platforms working without people's egos being healthy too. You know, because
I think it cancels out at a certain point. Well, so like, for example, Trump never got on TikTok, and people have many reasons why, like data. But I also think, I think he's probably been on it secretly. TikTok, the like algorithm shows you your subconscious. Like it knows you better, not in a way like that Facebook tells you what to buy, in sure. a way that it'll literally be like, we know you were in an abusive relationship, whether you say it or not. And then they'll start showing you how to heal. And I think if you're a narcissist or someone like with Trump tendencies, you're going to see a lot of stuff you don't want to see, because your subconscious is reflecting the parts that you don't want to see. And so I don't think people like him want to be on TikTok.
Right. But I'm just saying from the, like, but then there are people who participate on the content creation side, good or bad too, that I also see like your ego absolutely needs to be healthy enough to sort of continue in the pattern of like putting yourself out there for the views, to keep sort of feeding that relationship to the platform. But I think it all depends. Like you're saying, there are people in it for different reasons. Other people might not be as ego-centered when they're participating in it. But I think one of the reasons why I've even like my relationship over time with social media has changed is like there was an element about like reinforcing my ego to the posting that was not very healthy for me, or like was feeding a lot of other like subconscious insecurities or whatever. And I was like, oh God, this is like torturous in a way. But I think we're all made differently, you know?
Well, I for sure had that too. Shout out to
the
people
on TikTok because I love the videos.
I agree. I definitely had moments of like, posting kind of like subtweets. But I would also argue that I had to go through that phase of my life to now come out on the other side. So not to say you have to, but if you lean into all your tendencies, you end up healing yourself faster. I don't know. It sounds really bananas, but I feel like it's gotten smoother using social media in that way.
Sure.
I mean, I think it's it's less bananas than just assuming that all these social media platforms are just like there and not affecting us in some profound way as a society. Like that. I mean, there was a news story over the weekend that Trump being banned, like disinformation about the election went down 70%. And I replied to that. I was like, will we look back on the social media era as like the way somebody who is in recovery looks back on like a, you know, what they did while they were under the influence? And
interesting.
But I also feel like that might have been specific to having a president who was using social media in that way. But there is that power, right? There is the ability for somebody to come in and completely take over if it's not regulated in some way that has an eye toward the overall health of society as opposed to the, you know, what is driving revenue.
Well, I see it as the same way as like when you first get your trust broken, you might be like, oh, I better not trust anymore. But then over time, when you start leaning into learning lessons, you realize like trust is one of my good qualities. I just have to learn how to discern who to trust. Yeah. And I think Trump taking advantage of a lot of his followers is similar. Like they do have trauma bonds, but the idea isn't to never trust. It's to figure out how to like spot the red flags, because the trust part will actually make the community stronger if people know how to discern. I don't know. Now this sounds really boring. I am a comedian, but I haven't done stand-up in almost a year.
No, but it's true. There is, like you're saying, there is a mirror to it, but it requires a level of self-awareness and openness to self-examination, I think, to get those lessons out of it. Because many people don't. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I worry that there's a lot of... Like, I've noticed in pop culture there being a trend of... The only example that's coming to mind is Memento, but like I think there are a lot of movies where it's like people intentionally ignore something to like give their life meaning. They like, and I feel like that is a reflection of something we're seeing more and more as technology and culture.
Dissonance.
Yeah, like intentional cognitive dissonance, which I think could get you in trouble on the what you're talking about. Can I steal a minute of the show just to talk child programming? Allison, does your child watch Blippi at all?
Oh yeah, we had a big Blippi phase, and then he came out of it, and then just like 3 days ago he asked to watch Blippi again, so we're headed to Blippiville again.
Did you know about the scandal?
Yes, I did, and I
just found out about this.
I love it. Tell them, because this is too good to be true.
So Blippi is a dude who just, it's the way entertainment works in like the digital age, where he was just like a cool uncle who was making videos for his nephews to entertain them and became like a viral sensation. And so now he has like a whole children's entertainment media YouTube empire. And then it comes out that in the early teens, 2013 video, there's a video of him taking a shit on his friend's ass.
Right. So his name is his real name is Stephen Johns, and he was a gross out comedian. What was his? He had a stage name.
It was.
I don't know.
Do you remember? It's something gross.
Yeah.
It was Ploppy.
Yeah, it was Ploppy before. Oh man.
Oh my God. But, so. What do you mean?
Turd Boy and Underwear Man, I think, were his nicknames.
Yeah.
Or at least the Those were the videos that got him.
Stephen J. Grossman. That's what it was. Okay. He called himself Stephen J. Grossman.
Oh, my
God. Oh, no, sorry. Stephen John is his. He was born as Stephen Grossman. I feel like there's even a third or fourth name that he went by. Here it is. Sorry. Steezy Grossman.
Steezy.
Is what he called
Grossman.
Himself. Yes.
You know that's a real nickname that he had in high school. Steezy Grossman.
Oh, fuck.
It's
dude.
Amazing that it didn't even put a dent in his success as a children's entertainer.
Well, I think the two things were not, like, nobody knew about them, that they were the same person for a little while, and then it's just coming out. But yeah, I guess it came out in 2019, and you're right, it hasn't really made a dent. He's still that dude.
But the video, was it like, okay, I know you said he took a dump on his friend's ass. Dude, he was doing a parody Harlem Shake video.
Yeah.
It
really
kind
of comes out of nowhere. To quote BuzzFeed News, in a hard R-rated twist, in a 2013 video that BuzzFeed News has reviewed, Stephen Blippi John takes an explosive diarrhea shit on his nude friend's ass in a truly shocking rendition of the Harlem Shake meme. Yeah, I do love BuzzFeed News' like ability to kind of code switch between BuzzFeed News has learned and reviewed
and
footage
speak.
And then being like diarrhea shit. On a new friend's ass.
It's interesting that that's hard R. I mean, I guess that makes sense.
I
feel like if I suddenly saw that, I would feel like I need more warning. Than just an R rating.
Yeah, I don't think that's a hard R. I think that is poor writing on whoever wrote that BuzzFeed News article.
That's Katie Notopoulos.
Oh, she's great. So
we'd love to know more,
just,
Katie.
It's a little bit harder than a hard R.
Yeah, is her beat diarrhea shits?
Yeah.
No, she's actually very.
I'd hate
very
to see what
writer.
She thinks is like NC-17.
Right? Yeah, it's just people being.
Or like what she thinks is G rated.
Right. Yeah. Anyway,
well,
shout
out
to
at least
to
he's not racist.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, this is not the... And he was able to just come out and be like, yeah, I did some gross out stuff.
I get that. People trying comedy on the internet, you do make some... You experiment with some dumb shit, and then you're like, okay, that's not it. But, like, for you as parents, when you see a thing, you're like, oh, my kid likes this entertainer... Where do you put bad Harlem Shake shitting video in terms of like, you can't watch this? Like, how low is that? You know what I mean?
Like
racism.
Him as a person or
like violent abuse, you know, like of just transgressions that are revealed about someone. You're like, oh, actually, this actually negates all the work they've done.
I have two boys. They have probably described what happens in that video before, just because poop jokes are like the funniest thing in the world to them. And just like saying poop on somebody who's pooping would probably be a thing that they would describe. So there's definitely like when I first saw Blippi, I was like, this is weird because he's like a middle-aged dude who's dressed like a, I don't know.
He's like the cousin of the guy. Who's like, do you want government cash for anything? Exactly. Like with the question mark suit? He looks like that dude's nephew.
Yes, he does. That's exactly right. All right. We've completely derailed this show. This is absolutely not what people tune in to hear about.
All right. That's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. Means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home, where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. The I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. Kings Island is now open on weekends.